Don't wear Ben Thomas.
Yeah, we know. Definitely not what we're asking. Okay, so today we start with the Tashbates, Chelik Avsim and Aleph. This is one of the most important Shuvos about coercion on Gittin. There's a lot packed in here. Romy's cranky that he couldn't just read the clip notes in the Beis Yosef.
I mean, I just read his thoughts.
Okay. You could. No one's forcing you to read the Tashbates inside. What?
You didn't read the clip notes.
That's right. Let me just take you guys on a quick point. This will help us in the Tashbates. Skip down to page 87 for 1 second. Just the beginning of Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph. Anybody look at the beginning?
87?
Yeah, the end of the source sheet where it says Moda. So Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph begins with discussion of Moda, and then it moves into the discussion of Get Bo'ones. At a certain point, we're going to have to directly discuss Moda. You see, the Tashbates is knee deep in the discussions, as is the Rosh Bash, as is the Zechon Yehuda. So let's just read through the Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph just so we get a little. We get somewhat oriented to these dinim. So no one prepared this because I put it into the source sheet. But sorry, you want to just read through the dinim quickly? Sure. Yeah, so basically, if you're Moser Moda, that's Mevato the get.
Yeah.
Moda is just a way of informing, it's a notice. I'm putting everybody on notice that the get that I'm going to give is coerced, correct? All right. Now, the major issue that the Rishonim are struggling with is, would you ever view a get as coerced and therefore possible if the husband wasn't Moser Moda? Like, what does the Moda add? If he was coerced, then the get should be batel even without the Moda. And if he wasn't coerced, what does the Moda add? That's a little of the mystery about Moda. Moda comes up. Where does Moda appear? In the Gemara, where is it discussed? Erchin is mentioned very quickly in the Kviya Sugya, but where's the main Sugya about how Moda read the Tashbates, you should know. Chatzkas Avadim. At the whole discussion of Moda on a Matana, Moda on a Mecher, Dachmem. And what are the specifications for a Moda? Okay, go on, Zecharia. So you see all these rules. It has to be done in front of Edom Sheirim. Some debate whether the Edom have to be together when you're Moser Moda. Okay, and then here's a further issue that came up extensively in the Tshuva of the Tashbates. What's that point?
So even though given Moda says, "Oh, in the future I'll be under the rest," so even if the Eidim don't see that Onas later, and even if he was blind the whole time, Moda's still valid.
Exactly. What matters is that he was Moser Moda.
Yeah.
The Eidim who are signing on the Moda don't have to know that in fact there was any duress.
Yeah.
They're just signing on to the fact that he was Moser Moda. Okay. Make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Lachain, because of this issue of a moda, what follows procedurally when you execute or organize a get? Yeah, you can actually discern from the language of the Tashbates that you prepared for today that these are all controversial. Many people think it's sufficient just to say that I'm Mevatel Moda. Once you're Mevatel Moda, you are Mevatel anything that would have possible to get. This comes from the language of the Rush that we're Choshesh that you shouldn't. You have to be batal not only the moda, but also modai moda and anything else that would call to get into sort of a much more expansive language of a bittel. Haga.
Moda, 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 and so
Maybe it's just up to have about the all modos. You don't have to use this more elaborate language. Yeah. Okay, so that's the minog, but it's good to be choshes for the other stuff. See the chenogin? It's interesting. Chenogin. That's the minog. Nagu, Siv Gimel, you get a further extension of this idea of bitul modos. Normally, you only need a bitul moda when what? When there's a moda, but the Rishon would go and they have an extra chumra. Nagu lahatzrif. Notice that what's the first verb there? Nagu. Shulchan Aruch is just codifying the practice. Go on. Right, that's just because once in those cases, there's no reason to think that there's anos. There was no moda, but anyways, we have a chumra to do it, but it's not ma'akev. So that, what's the first word then that? No, no, good. Okay. No, 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 no. It's not. You did, but. No, good. Okay.
For the
this is an interesting question. How many times in Bapa Modos there are separate Bitul Moda before Nesina Saget in addition to the Bitul Moda before the Tzibui the Sofer? That came up also in the Tshuba of the Tashbates, because there was a second Moda in the Tashbates case. What? Before the... What? What? Okay, we'll look at it carefully. Good. So the first three simanim here, and afilu hachi machmir gamkin levat amodai b'shas nesina. Okay, so those are some just quick overview of the dinim of moda that we're going to look at more carefully in the beginning of Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph. Okay. Skip forward after Sif Dalid. Look at Sif Vav in Simen Kuf Lamed and Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph. Misha Masa Moda.
Misha Masa Moda again. Machmir Sama Kmartha. Nei Shibara Leos Pandarin.
All right, so at some point we decided that we're going to be mak and mardus, anybody's Muslim would don't get, because it's a very terrible thing. It causes complications about the validity of the children. The Rama adds, more people might have known about the moda than the bito, and that's going to call into question the paternity of the children. So that's why, even if he's mevatel modos, we're going to give him shamta. Okay. One other sif here about modos. Look at sif. Sif yud. Yeah, so some interesting question there about how the bitul modos and bitul aget require new mice in a sina. But we'll talk about that in closer detail. Okay, so now I want us to go carefully into the tshuva of the Tashbates, Simen Aleph. Again, one of the most important tshuvos about Kfiya Begitin. I hope you all appreciate the work that the Tashbates put into this case. Right? It's like really a labor of love for him trying to figure out the halacha here. So that's a Maisa Ira Beretz Italia. Who has the Tashbates down?
This section.
Josh, you have the section down?
Don't make us look bad, Josh.
So let's go through the beginning. So let's just get through the standard interpretation of the story.
So
you can tell us outside if you want. You have to read through it. What happens?
This guy, Yitzchak Bar Yechiel, married this woman, Bila, Bas Rabbi Yechiel. and they got married. Yeah, they got married. And I'm trying to remember correctly. He didn't want to get divorced, or she went. I don't remember if I jogged my memory by reading it for a second.
That's fair enough, man. So the marriage went south very quickly, correct? Sounds like 8 months after they got married. And the husband did not want to divorce his wife. The wife wanted the divorce. Ad kedei kach, the husband ran away. Barach, Rabbi Yitzchak HaNiskan, Reyosu, Makom L'Makom Acher. Correct? Everything got so bad in the community that he fled to a different community. And his father also wanted to get away. His father wanted to leave the town that they were living in and move to a different town. Yeah?
You mean he got bad because he was refusing divorce?
Seemed like it. Okay. So the father wanted lahatik di rasa misham hu beso. He wanted to move his residence away with his whole household. What was the obstacle? Why didn't he? Yeah, there's a law, and sounds like in Italy, that if you were going to flee town, you had to put up notice, and anybody who had claims against you could bring their claims. And the wife's family brought claims against the father here, saying that the father has to help the son, make sure the son gives a get. Okay? That's this cruz that he's just talking about. So the wife's family exercised their right. And what happens? Bo Krovi Aisha. Go ahead, Josh. Ram L'Moshe L'Aretz.
Bo Krovi Aisha. Ram L'Moshe L'Aretz. She Yavu Mitnei Tanu Tam Yitze. Echenasa. But he said, Lohaya Rishut L'Rabbi Yechiel L'Tzei Mian Makom Ahu Yim Beito V'Kol Asher L'Ashi Yigmor Hadin B'Tayim Zo.
So the law of the land was that the father is not allowed to leave until?
Until the son gives him a divorce.
Well, until their claims are resolved. Doesn't sound like the non-Jewish government took a stand about like how it should be resolved, but until like this issue is resolved between the two of them. Okay? Good? Josh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what was the claim from what was the legal problem with the secular government?
If you're moving out of town, you weren't allowed to leave until you put up notice that anybody who has a claim against you could come and bring their claim. Before you disappeared into the sunset.
Was the deterrent that you couldn't sell your property or that you would get beaten up if you were caught?
They wouldn't let you leave.
But you could just.
How do they enforce it?
Yeah, like usually he was under some kind of house arrest or something.
Well, actually, the Tshuva says he wasn't under house arrest. He was permitted. Rishus Haitzan Nisun Alat Rabbi Yechiel Latzeis Belavo Kirtzono Achlo In Beso Echein Hichoko Samedina. Because like you could, he actually could travel wherever he wanted, but the government wouldn't let his kids leave. Right? Countries still do this. I mean, something the communist countries did it for a long time. Okay, so what happened? They went to some sort of shara. They tried to reconcile with each other. And what happens? Gosh.
Yeah.
They tried to put some pressure on the husband. So what did the husband do? He's Masa Moda. What did he say that he's, what was the Masa Moda?
What did he say what?
What was the Moda?
That he were to divorce his kids, it wouldn't be honest.
Honest? Who's forcing him to get divorced?
Father?
His father. He said, any get that I give under this case is not on my own free will. My father is forcing me to give the get. Okay? You get a long quote of the language of the Moda here. After the Moda, what happens? It seems like the two sides came to some sort of agreement. Go ahead, Josh. Achakak Nisratsu Beis Kitos on this Garbib Shara. So what was the pshara? What was the husband holding out for?
They were giving him money.
Yeah, you wanted cash. and he ended up getting a nice payment to divorce his wife. Correct?
Yeah.
So the money was put in escrow. Vishlishu asach aniskar.
Yeah.
So he gave her a get. Right? He was about to collect the rest of the escrow money.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Then there's a she has a kol lifsol haget.
Yeah, why was there a kol lifsol haget?
Because he, like said before, like he had the Moser Moda before.
He's Moser, Moser
like
Moda.
Like we said in the Shulchan Aruch.
For Moser Moda, it says that the get is batel. Now, we know from the facts of the case, was he mevatel Moda?
Yeah.
At one point, he was definitely mevatel Moda. So here you can just skip to that. But couldn't see this haget. Good. So we're told, black and white, that the husband was mevatel the moda. Correct? Mm-hmm. And we even have the language of the moda. Etc. All those things are betalim. Correct? And we're told that the sofer wrote the get right after that. All right. Then what happened? It was a brief retraction of the bitul moda.
Somebody was crying.
After the halachah chutz l'ir limsar get, they walked outside. Correct? So you're at the place they're going to give the get, and what happened? They're welcome to see us again. And Raya Bocha. So who's crying?
The uncle of the Megarish.
The uncle.
Yeah.
And he was very sad about this.
Yes. And then he says, well, why are you crying? I'm giving this get under my own volition. I need to take the call because I get.
Whoa. I'm like, it's a kamigarish.
Oh, Masar Achlit Kod. I didn't obtain the Kod that I get.
What does that mean?
Like, I want a divorce.
Is that what it means?
Hey, don't cry. I'm not what I want to do. It's forcing me.
Yeah, it's ambiguous language. Half the truth of the Tashbait is about trying to interpret what that phrase means. And you know, saying, Bekoach Zaget. Right? So the uncle is crying. The Megari says, oh, why are you crying? I don't want to divorce her. I'm doing it under force. Okay.
And he says,
Now that Rabbi Yitzchak, the Masader Gittin says, oh my gosh, what do you mean you're giving it under force? Yeah, like what do you mean when you say that? Like explain yourself.
After, let's say, she doesn't want to be with her.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I don't want to divorce her, but she doesn't want to be married to me. So that's why I'm divorcing her. So he said that I'm not giving it up, right? But I'm doing it because she wants me to do it. So it's not clear how that's consistent with saying that you gave the get under duress. Maras Pirna. So the mother of the woman said, you don't want to divorce her, don't divorce her. Right? See, it's up to you. That's what the mother of the girl said. So what are Yitzchak the Masader say to him?
I think he was involved in the Modas.
What did he say to the Megarish? Da ki haget sarif lidna
baratzon tov. It seems like he's saying that you did it.
That's what you're doing. And he's like, look, you got to give it on your own free will, and that's what's happening here. Right? And by the way, you're Mevat Modas. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah.
Because Heshiv Yitzchak Megarish. He said yes, which sounds like he was consenting to the explanation that he's giving a Paras on Atov. Now he's about from Adel. So, Yad Achar.
Yad Achar Eladar, and I'm sorry, I get Chavacha.
The get was delivered right after that. That's the important fact pattern. Then you get a few pages of discussion about what did the Edom know about the Modah, are the Edom Ksherim. The last half of the tshuva is about this issue of the Edom Ksherim on the Modah. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's not so important for our purposes right now, but it becomes important later on. So we're going to skip over the Achar Zman Ma. That's where you get very fascinating back and forth in the evidence about what happens with these modos, what do they even know, b'chule b'chule. And then on the next page, on page 36, where it says you have that little nice poem, that's where the Taj Bates' answer begins. So what's the gist of the Taj Bates' analysis? The divorce is good. It's a kosher divorce. Why is it a kosher divorce? So he has a few points. I want to highlight several of them. So in his reading of the, he starts off with the Gemara in Gittin Peches and Beis, Get Hamelusa Bistral Kosher. What does he say about that? Josh, I'm a Farish B'Gemara, Hanu Kedin. And he cites the Gemara Erechin. So what's that issue about? What's the first move that he derives from Erechin Chaf Aleph? Andrew, do you know?
Yeah.
Eitan, do you know?
No.
Ezra, do you know?
I think so. I think his point is that this is, that since he was Mevato, he's Moda.
What's he trying to figure out?
Or that even if he was about to the Modah, but he was forced, it wouldn't be, because he was forced, it wouldn't be kosher.
No. Nachshoni, do you know?
I'm trying to figure out why Modah even matters if it's really talking about real sense.
In what sense does it matter?
Does it matter?
What's he trying to figure out? Like, the facts, we also have the facts. He's trying to posk in the case.
Okay, what's
uncertain to him? What's this piece of the analysis doing?
The modos, I mean, the status of the modos.
What about the status of the modos?
The fact that at the time when he said, yeah, he said that I was doing it.
So what's the legal issue that he's trying to figure out?
Isn't that essential oxygen with the modos?
What's he trying to figure out?
Why the modos is would have. Why the fact that you have asked Modah is rather than the case for the case
he doesn't say why.
Come on, if he was Mavasha the previous Modah.
Then what?
Like just like whether or not he.
He's trying to figure out in a case where you're Kofa Kedin, do you need Bittul Modos? That's this first piece of the Tshuva. When you have a legal right to coerce somebody based off kfiya kedin that you see in Peches, is the kfiya only valid if there's bittul modos? Or do you say that once you're allowed to be kofes somebody kedin, it doesn't matter that there's a modah? Because once he says rotani and gives the get, that's totally fine. So the chiddush that he has here, based on his reading of the Gemara of Erechin, is that even in a case of kfiya kedin, the get would be batel, if you didn't coerce him to be mevatel modos. Meaning, even when coercion is justified halachically, a modah will destroy the get. That's what he's trying to establish here. Okay? He says, Mefarish b'gemara, dahainu kedin, didafka b'dilo masar modah, kfiya kedin works only in a case where there's no masar modah, inami b'dimasar ubatil in modai kama. Or in a case where he was Moser Modah, but he was Mevata the Modah under coercion. The ibid masar moda velo bati le moda ikama afal gav de artsi mitocha isul yeinu kasher. Consenting under duress will still create a puzzle or disqualified get if there's a moda out there. That's the. It's an uncertain area of halacha, right? I mean, just not clear. How does the din of moda, which appears in Erchin and in Baba Basra, how does that relate to the din of Isui in Kidim Peches? The Tashbit says it's a breaker. Okay. Then he has some weak rayas from Erchin. He says, "Hey, this appears in Erchin. Kofnas Juma Rotsani Mistama. The case of Erchin is a case of Kfiya Kedin." We have no riot. There's no evidence that Erchin Chavalev is a case of Kfiya Kedin. He's just saying Mistama, that's the case.
It's a textual view.
Yeah, let's hear.
He says, in the last line I've highlighted there, the Lishna and the Kofin will find him covered. The Lashon wants to be able to together.
How you come and say, but then Mary, that he listened to Kofrin below 20 M Kafu also. I feel I'll see if the art say, that right is pretty good, assuming that. The language of the mission of Kofin implies a case of Kitin. That's reasonable.
Yeah, it was pretty common in the mission. You know, like that language.
Yeah, although there could be cases where you could be Kofin to get a get, like the Tashbase himself will say, where it's not Kfiya Kitin. There could be, I mean, it doesn't mean the Kfiya could be legitimate kfiya, but it's not a case of kfiya kedin. But we'll talk about those cases. Yeah, Ezra.
So why does Haas help his point? You mean, okay, so the moda is still a factor in kedin.
What?
How does it help his point?
His point then is that it's crucial to determine whether there was bitl modos, even if in this case before him the kfiya was done kedin. Whereas if you don't need bitl modal when the kfiyas get in, then the whole issue of whether the modal was mevutals is moot.
Right.
That's the first matter of business, right? How important is bitl modal? And he says really important. Josh?
Sorry, we're saying for sure that this case is kofa.
He doesn't say that. He's going to speculate about it.
Okay.
But here he wants to say that even if the kfiyah was kedin, modal matters. So even if you think this case had super strong grounds for kfiya, we need to establish whether the moda was nullified. Okay. He cites two Rishonim who agree with him. So Josh, we from Nimtza Shafilu Kafu is on page 37. Nimtza Shafilu Kafu Yisrael Bedin.
Nimsa Shafilu Kapo Israel Bedin, the Masar Moda, the low bitva, Enom get kla. So that if he be Israel forced him, let's say in the case that it was allowed, he was Masar Moda, it's not a get, even though it was kedis.
Okay.
It says the im lo masra, so yeah, the im lo masra or masra vipela, afilu mitocha isu.
Masra bitla.
Yeah, masra bitla, afilu mitocha isu vikasher. That
I mean, if you're Moser Moda, but you're Mavata the Moda under duress, that's okay. If it's a case of Kfiya Kedin.
Oh, if you're
Moser Moda, who would disagree with that?
That what?
Who would disagree with that point?
Nobody.
That, yeah, so then.
Meaning, Kfiya Kedin would have no teeth if the Bidl Modas had to be Miratzon. Right? If the Bidl Modas had to be of his own free will. Right, Ezra?
Yeah,
that's your point, correct? Here, the Tazbich is citing earlier postgame game who say this, who say it, like the Itzer and the Rav Haigon. Okay, now notice also, Chen Kasev Arab Bala Itzer, Chen Kasev Ben Yonav Arif, she Shalokidin.
Shalokidin, Pasol Vibizel Moda. Pasol Vibizel.
So, what does that mean?
So in the case of Shalokidin, where they're not able to do Isui,
also shalokidin kapha vizuwada.
If you're kofa shalokidin, and the guy's mevatel modos, the get is still puzzle. And if he wasn't mevatel modos, the get is batel lagamri. Okay, so the lack of bitul moda nullifies the get entirely in a case of kfiyah shelo kedin, and it passels it, at least midrabana, in a case of kfiyah shelo kedin, where he was mevatel moda under duress. Okay? Okay, v'achash nisparish this, so now he moves on to the next phase of analysis.
In this case, the father preventing the father not leaving, that the father being prevented from leaving would be kfiya on the son.
So if it were to be considered kfiya ala ben, v'haben lo haya meosan shekofen osel lahotzi.
Yeah, he must remember that with the calls that shalom yistalek panos ain't on get how about they get melusa shalom kedin the Israel puzzle we're going butter.
So what is the point here?
That this case would be this case of, let's say, the av not being of the via being on the son as a result of the father not leaving would be get puzzles. Even if it was a case of kiddit, even if it was a, no, I'm not sure.
What's he saying in this line?
Which line?
On the highlight. Im yigavav milatzes milso makom havekfia. Gabi haben. Haben loyim ashkavav lahotzi. What's he saying?
That, oh, so if it was a case that was not koven, it was not kiddin.
Good, if it's a case of kfiya shalokidin. Yeah. We don't know the facts of this case, right?
Yeah, but they were preventing the father from leaving. And like, so it is kfiya, but it's not kedin.
Right. So if kfiya sa'av is considered kfiya sa'ben,
yeah,
and it's a case of shelo kedin,
yeah,
then
it's just puzzle.
It gets puzzle, assuming that he was mosim mudo bitla.
This is the same thing he just said, not being mosim
mudo. Well, this correct. He's just applying it to the case, right? He says. If it's a case of shalokidin with ones, then the get is possible or it's nullified even with bitul modos. But if the coercion is justified, if it's meosan shekofen osel lahotzi, so what follows then?
So
his point is that if this is a case of justified coercion,
then it is okay.
Then what?
It would be a get kosher.
It'd be a get kosher if he is mevatel the moda.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay. That's a bit of the background. You see the Taj Bay just trying to lay out trying to figure out the lay of the land here. Like, what halachic rules does he have to sort out before he could paskin on this case? Right? It's a very tricky question. Now here's where he starts moving towards his answer. The im ikuv ha'av.
Im ikuv ha'av lo haita kfiya ba'ones. The masr moda im moda. It's a bitul moda. The bitul sagi. That he would have to, if it was not a case of kfiya nanas and he had a moda, he would have to be able to live.
If it's not
a case of kfiya nanas, but he did have a moda, he would have to be able to live moda if he wanted to divorce her.
Good. Did anybody see that?
Sorry.
What's he trying to say? This is what he's going to say later on. This is his view. If kfiya sa'av is not considered ones lagabi aben, but the son was Moser Moda, will the get be kosher without Bidl Modos? No. Because that's the whole point of his earlier analysis. Even if there's no Kfiya, but there's a Moda, you're in trouble. Okay. The Reisi.
Is this a Chiddush? Or is this like.
Well, it's a Chiddush given the next line. Reisi Mishakasa Bekuntris.
Reisi Mishakasa Bekuntris, the Irtsi Sagi, the Lobai Bidl, Bidl Moda, Ella Bidl Isu, the Isuru. About the low is low by in on bitol, given shini drats and regarish sagi. that it's kind of like the action justifies it.
So what does that mean? Dan, do you know what that phrase means?
No.
What's that? What do you think it means?
Doesn't require. Doesn't require the discipline of God rather than just do action.
Meaning what?
That has to be done. What action are we even talking about here?
As well,
we're saying that, you know, some people might say that, you know, the action, you know, not actually explicitly being the mevatel is enough.
Yeah,
he's saying that you have to.
Yeah, once you're nisratzes,
yeah, then why do you have to say it?
So you don't need bitul modai. Correct.
What action?
If he gives the get, that's, you know,
he's saying that, like, the actual action of him giving it, like, allowed us to know that he was Nisratze.
No, he's not saying that. I think that would be against the Mishnah Erchin, which says, Kofano Sochimarotzani, he requires Bita Modos.
Yes.
So what's the, so,
if he does it willingly in the moment, then.
Not in the moment. So we have Mishan Erchin that says Kupno Sochi Marotani, my Achi Marotani. It's not enough that he gives the get. He asks me about the modos.
Only in
the
case of Yisu.
Oh, maybe that's only true in the case of this Kviya. But on the assumption that that beating up the father till the son gives the get is not considered a Kviya Laben at all, who says you need Bitul Modos in that case? Because he volitionally gave the get. It's true that he was Moser Moda earlier, but maybe if you're Moser Moda earlier and then you give the get on your own volition, you don't need Bitul Modos. Meaning, what? The idea is that Bitul Modos is only in a case where there's Kviya. So it sounds like that. Would...
2 days later, I look like I want to give it. That's the whole point of Modos.
They're saying that
Modos. The answer is no. Modos would only be true in a case where there is actual onus.
Yeah, they say that that's just not a real Modos.
Correct. But... Or that a Modos only goes into effect when there's actual onus. That's the thought.
Yeah. It seems strange that it's not even strong enough to activate Muda, like you think that.
What, to Mivata the Muda, you mean?
Yeah.
The fact that he's giving it?
Yeah.
Well, Romy's point is that's the whole point of a Muda, is that it gives us advance notice that your later action is not done freely. The question then is, what if there's, is, we know, objectively speaking, there's no onus. Does Muda still have meaning? So the Contrasin's suggestion is, no, there's no meaning to moda in a case where halachically we did an inquiry, we realized there was no onus, and you went ahead and gave the get, mertzon chachavshi. The Tashbates' point is no. Once there's a moda, even if you acted in a case where there's no onus, we still require bitul modos. So it's a very reasonable back and forth. The Tashbates ends up siding the Rambam, who sides with him against this Contrasin. The Contrasin here, if you look at the footnotes in the Tashbates, there's a lot of Contrasin written by other Rabbanim about this case that the Tashbates was sifting through. And that's one of the Contrasin that he's referring to. It's like all the literature that was generated about this case of the Italian get.
What exactly is the question? Like, well, how is this related to the question of whether, the question is whether when he said like koach or whatever, like, that's not my koach, I'm giving this get. Whether that is a moda, why are we dealing with bitul moda? Like, shouldn't the question just be whether that counts as a moda?
What do you mean? There's a moda in advance.
You know, there's a moda in advance, and we have evidence that he was mevatel it, you know, like with Adam or something like that. I thought the only question was just whether he was implicitly creating a moda when he was giving the get.
Later on.
Yeah, like at the time again, where he said to his crying uncle that, like, oh, like I don't really want to give this. I thought the question was there whether that was modus. Why are we dealing with like the halachot of like bitul modus?
Because he's mevata right after that.
No, like was that a moda?
Maybe.
I'm saying we're not really asking that question here. Whether, like, I feel like we should not be asking what cancels out moda. We should ask what generates moda.
He's gonna get to that at the end. Did you see the end of the tshuva?
No.
So he does try to figure out what that language of bikoach means. But we're trying to figure out whether, like, would that even, like, do you need to involve that muda for the get to be kasher?
Oh, like at this stage, we're assuming the wada muda.
Or there's at least a good argument to say that he was giving it a bekoach, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the Tashbates turns to say, he says, after this Hakdama, what's the key issue that we need to figure out?
In that case of the Av being the Ikuva Av, Haiter Kriya Ilav, we're considering this case, even in the case of Kriya in the first place.
Okay, why? Shafila
Nochiach. Shafila Nochiach, Shavodan Yibatlu, Mayin Tain and Mayosif, Mayin Kafui, Vishat Avito, Vikifu going to Lokadim. And if this, even if he wasn't about the Moda, if it was a case of Shalokadim and it was by Goyim, then it wouldn't even be yet.
Yeah, now he happens to think this is a case of Kriya Shalokadim. It's very, it's a chiddush that he has here. He says that this cannot yet have been a case of kfiya kedin. Why? They never even had a din Torah about the get. So it's a very interesting point, because you might say, well, maybe the facts are such that it is kedin, but he's saying it can't be kedin because the procedural flaw that there was no adjudication to determine that it's kedin.
Well, it ends up happening the same reason later.
Well,
they tend to work in the other direction later.
That there's an obligation to be omen within.
Meaning you can be coping to show up.
Yeah, true. But at this point, he's saying like, it can't be a case of kfiya kedin because there hasn't been any determination to assess that a get is required here. You see that? You might have said it's just a suffix or the Tashbit should do his own inquiry. But he's just saying since that never happened in this case, it's dispositive. It's certain that this is a case of kfiya shalokedin. Like there's no basis for requiring a get, given that there was no inquiry about what happened. Okay, Valnira Baror. So, but he does have argument to say that the get should be kosher. Benji, do you know what's his main argument?
About why the get is kosher?
Yeah.
Because he really did have the
rotum? No. Actually, other Ratzon. Zeb, do you know? Okay. Josh, do you know? What's the main argument? Rami?
Yeah.
It wasn't Kfiya. Why wasn't it Kfiya? So Josh, go on. I want your borrower. This is what we spoke about in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
That even if they were to physically beat the father, that wouldn't be considered coercion with respect to the son. Okay. He says, even if it were beating a son till a father gives the get.
Yeah, which would be more.
Which there would be more like. Benji, did you give the example? Give the example of their mother in last year.
Charlie.
Charlie's not here. Right.
What's the example?
What was Charlie's example?
Mom can hurt his mother feels pain.
Yeah, his mother feels his pain more than he feels his pain. Right? So that's Rachme Avalaben. So the Tashbates argues that that's not considered kfiya. Okay.
Yeah, the culture came to kfiya aviv, she'ina isu leben. But this is the case where the father is suffering and the son is witnessing it, not vice versa.
Yeah. So in the last year we spent some time trying to figure out why this isn't kfiya. Right? There's a hasaga here. Everybody see this parentheses, the haga? There's a haga of the Rashbash. Shin Bei Shin. Who's the Rashbash? Who wrote the later tshuvas? What?
He's Sephardi.
Yeah, he's Sephardi. What else about him? He's the son of the Tashbates. Tashbates' son. There's a Hasaga here of the Rashbash, where he cites a Chubas Rashba. That's in parentheses. Rashba Kasa B'Chubasa. Go ahead, Josh. Tahava Ones.
The Havi Ones. The Havi Raya Me'ota Shashanino. The Nandarim Nidre Onsin.
Anybody look up that case? That Nadarim case? So it's a case where you took a neder because your son was sick. So you're able to be matched the neder because it's considered Nidre Unsin, because you're considered to be under duress having undertaken the neder simply because your child was sick. So the thought is that That only works one way.
This doesn't work in this case either.
What's that?
Because that's only because the father has brought in the son.
Okay, at least in that case.
Right.
We'll see. The Rashbash thinks it's generalizable to other cases. Did you see the Rashbash yet?
So far, so.
Did you see the part where he talks about this issue?
No. Is he this? Is this true? The true of the one where he goes through the different cases of onus?
Yes. So you want to fast forward there for a second just to see the objection? Yeah, so skip ahead to the Shit Rash Bash for 1 second. Shin Lamites.
Page though.
Wonder. This is on page, starts on page 55. We'll look at the facts of the case in a second, but first just skip down. 59, where I'm highlighting. Anybody got to the, who prepared this? What have you guys been doing for the last couple of weeks? Okay. What do you get up to? All right, fine. Okay. Romy, 59. So take us through that, Rash Bash. A few lo hayonis lo ba'atzmo.
Okay, a few
So what happened? So a person was shakened off to a woman.
Right.
His sister got sick.
And
she said, Shalom.
I'm not going to eat until you take a shuva that you're not going to marry this woman.
Yeah.
Basically.
Exactly.
So then now he's
stuck. He basically said, I'm going to die unless you, I'm going to starve myself unless you promise not to marry this woman.
Right.
We don't know why she didn't like the wife, but we're fine. Vinishban, he swore, so that the sister will eat. Exactly. The Heshiv.
The Heshiv Shaneder is a bottle in Karo, a vein on the repal, no, because it's not binding. Vishazza, on the side of the Yikar, and there he was at Ones. Kaven Shahisa, a post of Kola, Holy Kavi, Vinishba, Shalotel, Kalachi, or
Well, there's no greater duress than trying to make sure that your sibling doesn't die. What? It's a pretty clear take saying that it's onus, those conditions, right? The welfare of your sibling is considered onus.
But she imposed it. Yeah, but.
What?
She didn't impose it on him, he didn't impose it on himself.
Well, he accepted Nishba.
Yeah, but meaning you could say that she created a new, she added a factor to the scenario that wasn't
under oath. Okay, maybe. But then the Rashba goes further. Vishalo, you stop it, Adam Lomar.
She shouldn't say that it's not onus unless it's physical or financial. Of the person in
Yes, of the no der mamish. That's the key point. I mean, don't tell me that onsen requires some direct effect on your own person or your own property. Why?
There's nothing a person wants to do more than to save his family.
Yeah, so this came up in the Sunday shiur, right? That you're saying that my property is more chaviv than...
Right. Well, it seems that that court is just about things that you care about. And what interesting thing.
It's true, the Rosh Beer does seem to think it's a function of chaviv.
Your body and your money are opponents because you care about
them. All right, so interesting question. If you hate your sibling, would it be Nidre Onsen in that case? Something, right? That would be the nafkamina that you're...
I don't care about money.
But notice the Rashbash, we're looking at the tshuva of the Rashbash right now. In the tshuva of his father, of the Tashbates, we have his Ha'ara saying that thing that my father wrote is against the tshuva of the Rashba. Are the cases analogous? Just curious. Is the Rashba's tshuva opposed to the Tashbates? Ezra?
I think I tried to tell on Sunday that the Tashbates makes the distinction between Ores and Asur. And that's what I think.
Maybe. But
I mean, you agree. That's why I think you agree with the Rashba. In this case.
Who would agree with the Rashbash?
Tashbates.
And this is the Chuvas Rashba that's being quoted in the Rashba.
Okay, and you agree with the Chuvas Rashba.
How could he agree?
He still thinks it's the Onid. You just that once you we have a specific thing of get Musa.
So what are you distinguishing between?
Between Musa and Onid.
Well, what are you distinguishing between when you use those phrase? Are the cases perfectly analogous?
No, it's really not.
What's different about them?
One's against the Shul, one's against the versus one against the Gat.
Yeah. They're different areas of Halacha. It's not obvious that they have the same standards for the Hagdara of Ones. Very good, Ezra.
And he wrote.
Yeah, I got your back. They're different standards. You could argue that, okay, the Rashbash dug up a Tshuva the Rashba, where he says that with respect to being Matir Neder, a Shvuah that you take to save a sibling from death, is considered a neder taken bonus. It's not obvious that the same standards apply for Isui Begitin. Very good, Ezra. The Rashbash thinks they're analogous. He's like, oh, by the way, my father's wrong because I dug up this Chubas Rashba that says onus on Krovim is considered onus. But okay, Linya and Adarim maybe, but not necessarily Linya and Gitin.
Why would that be?
Why would there be a different Hagdara?
Because it's interesting because we're talking about the Mishnah uses the term Musa. Like it's a different word than Onis.
No, you can focus on the semantics. We might focus on, you know, like what is required to annul a neder versus what deprives somebody of Ratzon and Gitin. Gitin, it depends on how you listen to Chaim Beina, whatever the din of Ratzon is. It's not clear that that aligns with...
It's easier to get Ratzon in the case of Gitin.
Right.
Really? Yeah, I mean, the whole thing that Ratzon is like you need more Ratzon to get Gitin to do another thing.
Yeah, but Shua is like, I think it's a piece. All right. Okay. Okay, we've had Yitznan. Science. That's Chuvas Rashba. So now we're coming back to the Rashbash, Romy. So what does the Rashbash summarize from this Chuvas Rashba?
You can extend this to other all Krovins.
Hello, together, Krovim Malalu.
Hello, together, Krovim Malalu. In Krovim, Suli, Idus, Oh, Krovim, Chevashi, Kohan, and Chakon, the Tamil, and Bilal. Whatever, Chevashi, Tamil, and Yavu, you said that how far out you can attempt
to do it. Okay, he says, I'm not sure which Krovim count for these purposes, but it might be the set of Suli, Idus, might be the set of Krove, Kahuna, who could Kohan be Matame to. Those are all reasonable candidates for when we would say that. Coercion on a relative is considered duress on the Megaresh. So you can see the Rashbash here is diametrically opposed to his father's theory, based off that Chuvas Rashba. But the Tashbates himself clearly doesn't accept that. the probably the best rationale for us that we, is what we discussed on Sunday, that kfiyah for gittin requires some sort of direct coercion on the agent himself. Moshe, you have a hand?
Yeah, so how do you deal with his response to an uncle? He definitely feels that he's being coerced by his father. You said.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what he feels. What matters is he actually.
Yeah, don't care about your
feelings. That's right. He might feel that way, or he's stating that, but halachically it doesn't rise to the level of coercion. That's what you'd have to say. But onus, the hagdar of onus is not subjective. For me?
Also, the Tashmi thinking doesn't necessarily agree with the Rashba, I guess, or the Rashba, I don't know if that was part of the book. The fact that a person wants to save their family, whatever, is not disputed yet. He's just saying that's not the onus because that's not.
Say it again. He thinks this case is not onus at this point because it's not the gufo of the megarish. Kfiyah sa'av is not considered kfiyah sa'av.
Does he dispute the Rashba's claim or the Rashba's claim that a person wants to, you know, aid another and doesn't want to do more than that?
No, I don't think so, because he said even for av ala ben, where the Gemara says that a father always has racham on his son.
The point is he doesn't think that's called gufo.
Correct. Well, then you have to ask yourself, what's the significance of kfiyah begufa? Why is that the gold standard? And the answer seems to be what we discussed on Sunday, which is that it requires some sort of direct coercion. You're causing the megaris to give the get directly. You're not happy with that.
You run into a lot of, well, yeah.
What do you run into?
If you're saying direct cause, I guess I was thinking about it in terms of farming indirectly. You're saying it's just that you cause it indirectly. Like,
right.
There's a problem with claiming that you're not doing any physical harm to the person. But
right, here's a step removed.
That's not what you're saying. You're saying it's a step removed. It's not doing any harm.
Correct. You're harming him pretty badly, but indirectly.
Even physically.
I don't know, physically, what do you mean? Like, is it pain or?
The point is, yeah, I mean, I think that empirically it's a hard argument to say that you're not, like, messing with his brain,
getting
all kinds of trauma.
Yeah, I agree. But you're doing it indirectly. That was a Sunday discussion. The ode. Shafilu ikvu hamigari shatsmo. So let's go back to page 38. Josh, got it?
Yeah. The ode, shafilu ikvu hamigari shatsmo. Din she ikru aviv lo mikre isuri
al derech.
Oh, al derech she ikru aviv lo mikre isuri kivan shelo chavshu orto lo hi below hi hikuhu. Vaya holdech babir tzono betocha ir begam chutz la ir bavad shelo yatik yertes.
So here makes a side point that even if it, well, yeah,
2 points. One, it wouldn't be, it's not on us because not on him, it's on the son. And number two, the father wasn't really, he could move around in the city and it wasn't really
good. So this is an interesting side point that onus requires you to be sufficiently confined. And here, even if they did this to the son himself, they weren't confining him to any tight space, right? He still had enough sufficient degrees of freedom to not be considered coerced. Okay. Then he goes into a discussion of different types of onsen. Do you think there's anything important in the discussion of different types of onsen? In the Tashbetz.
Definition of onsen.
I thought that made no sense.
I think it made no sense.
Right? How did that
make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes no sense.
Well, it's just like basically. Just
how does
like
that fit with the sugya of Basra?
Yeah, it sounds like it's saying utility is like.
Right. Lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
But why is that? How does that fit with the sugya of Basra that distinguishes between onsen denafshe and onsen d'acherim?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a terrible argument.
Does he quote?
Yeah, he quotes it. Dilmash, he says, he cites at the end of that paragraph, Cheska Sabatim M. Zayin, Dilmashani Lunsa Dinafshe, Mashma Miacha, the Chol Onus Midinafshe, Lo Dami Lunsa Dachrini, Lo Mipi Onus Klal. But that's not the definition of Lunsa Dinafshe in Babasra. Right? In Babasra, it's not a lack of knowledge. It's that you need liquid cash. It's very strange that he could insert his definition of Muntzidinapshe into the Babasra discussion. That trouble any of you?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because look how he defines Unsa Dinafshi. He defines it as.
There's no
difference with Shogi. Also davar.
No, I think it's you would explain that meaning the want for money, that's a davar that ain't okay.
Why is it ain't okay?
Or ain't okay.
You want liquidity.
And you do, but like really if you knew like the MS, like you
that's true. No, I don't mean, I think you know the MS. That's the best option to sing him a vasara.
Okay.
All right, so you guys should think about this. So the problem is the way he defines Unsa Dinafshi is clearly not the way the Gemara defines in Bava Basra, and yet his conclusion that Unsa Dinafshi is Lav Shmi Ones is based off the Gemara in Bava Basra's distinction between Unsa Dinafshi and Unsa Dachrini. Rumi, does that bother you? Okay. Then he says, in the highlighted section, Unsa dachrini hu al harbe panim yesh ones shehu begrupo behakos behabatos. Then nechlach lebeis. He says there are two types of coercion in the flesh. One is b'makom mitzvah and one is shelo b'makom mitzvah. Is that obvious or is that not obvious? His distinction. Benji, is that obvious or not obvious?
I don't know.
Why is it not obvious? Isn't that just what the Gemara in Gittin is saying? Isn't that just Kiddin Shlokadin?
Yes. Wait, what do you mean?
This is the Mitzvah and Shlokadin? So I'm asking, he says, there's Unsa Dachrini, two types of Unsa Dachrini, Makom Mitzvah and Shlokadin.
But just because
the
Makom Mitzvah doesn't think, yeah,
that's fair. Oh. Very good, Benji. Exactly right. It's a chiddush because he doesn't use the Gemara's categories of kiddin and shelo kiddin to distinguish between two different categories of kfiya begufo. He says makom mitzvah and shelo makom mitzvah. What's the nafkamina, Josh?
Oh, well, I mean, the nafkamina would be in cases where we saw somebody say that, you know, if your wife asks to get divorced, maybe that's not kiddin, but maybe it's necessarily
exactly that. Rini Yona, Shinuch
Betzes. But it's not so shocking. I mean, if you think the mechanism that kiddin works is because, like, deep down, like, you want to do a mitzvah or something, that makes a lot of sense to extend it.
Did you prepare this?
I don't think I saw this. No.
What have you been doing?
Matt and I had a little 1 or 2 day break.
Okay. So a break from Ned is a break from learning?
Unfortunately.
I hear. All right, so these chuvas are really just killing everybody here?
I think I saw this like a week ago. And like certain sections were emphasized by the underline.
Yeah, you guys are.
Emphasized by the underline.
Well,
I hope the underlines help or hurt.
Okay, you can't be scared by these long chuvas. So read this section then. So Josh Shapiro, go for it. So you didn't prepare.
Sure.
Yoni, did you get to this?
I think so.
All right, so Yoni, why don't you give Josh a break a little bit?
Okay.
What did Dachrini al Harbe Panim? Yeshon Shimasa Begufa Bakos Kawazana Haklubez. Aleph?
Yes, Alf Mamma Mitzvah, which any Shalom Mitzvah.
Yeah, that's huge chiddush. He just said that he basically just took the Gemara that spoke about kviya kedin shelo kedin and said it's really about kfiya b'makom mitzvah. How does he know that? Basically what Josh said, which is mitzvah shema debe chachamim. So that mitzvah shema debe chachamim. So now I might have said that mitzvah shema debe chachamim doesn't mean doing a mitzvah. It means that when the chachamim are authorized to force you to give a get, then that makes it beratzon or whatever. But he generalizes mitzvah shmo de rechamim, even mokum mitzvah. And he has an amazing nafkamina. Go ahead, Yoni. Go, so skip just mitzvah shmo de rechamim. The kol shekin. Remarkable chiddush. He says, let's say somebody who the husband is obligated to give honor to forces him to give a get. That would be good. Exactly this case. Because he said, I'm forced by whom? My father. So that's what he says. There are two nafkamis. So number one, he says, there are two things follow from this. Number one, it has to be begufo. Fine. But beis shafilu, go ahead, Yoni. Shafilu antsu achirim.
Shafilu antsu achirim. Antsu avi v'amr lo. Al tispa diri avisa havi get. Mishem misla lishmona diri avi. Kevon shalom havi dvar av lavor al dvar Torah.
I mean, the father's command wasn't lavor al dvar Torah. That's just an exception to when kibbut avim applies.
Yeah.
But wherever kibbut avim applies, you have a chiv to listen. And the father commanded the son to give a get to put an end to the strife here. So we murder the gechidish here, that he seems to be saying that kfiya will work whenever it's b'malka mitzvah. Why? Because that's the rationale of mitzvah shmo adi v'chachamim, which means in general, whenever there's some sort of mitzvah that's being fulfilled by the giving of the get. Nafkamina, let's say it's a case where he has no chiyuv to give a get mitam hilchos gitin. But there's a hilchos kibbut avim thing that's it's creating a mitzvah with the get giving. The Tashbetz thinks that kfiya in that case would be permissible. So the father says, give a get. Now the goons come and they say, listen to your father. And they have like a baseball bat and they start hitting him until he complies with the father. He thinks that's a kasher get because we're just being kofel on kibbut avim. That's very different than the din shalokadin distinction you get in Gittin, which seems to be about look at Simon Kufnan Dalid within Hilchos Eben Ezer and see where does the halacha justify kfiya for kfiyana get. So the Tashbetz Lashitas on a few things that we're going to see in a moment. But Josh, then Romy.
The idea of, like, you know, just when the woman says, like, you know, that she wants to get divorced, like, I mean, like, that might be a mitzvah. I mean, would you say that that's a mitzvah? Just because, like, that's more amorphous than being a good person.
Mm-hmm. Well, only when she's his wife, maybe.
But what I'm saying, even if you're on the wife
part. You know what the Rabbeinu Yonah points? The Rabbeinu Yonah that you just quoted about Ma'asalai? There he said there's no kfiya, but there is Ma'asalai. But there is a mitzvah, the Garish.
Yeah. So I'm saying within this, then.
It's hard to make sense of Rabbeinu Yonah's distinction according to this, because Rabbeinu Yonah's whole point is that we're not kofen on Ma'as Alai, but we do say it's a mitzvah legarish, and you're an avarian who's not listening to the thumb.
You take the point that it's a mitzvah, and you're ignoring the other point.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you can get like a Rambam and say, she said, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's what he's saying.
Like, is that what the Rambam thinks? Like does Rambam think Ma'as Alai is, you know, a kiddin case?
Yeah.
Does he think it's a mitzvah?
No, he thinks it's a kiddin case. Yeah. And he thinks it's a kufnan dalid kfiya case. From Hilchos Eben Ezer. The way of reading Rabbeinu Yonah the other way is saying, no, it's like a Hilchos Mamrim Kfiya case, where you have a Chiyuv to listen to Chachamim. Once there's a mitzvah, then the Chachamim can be kofe you. I mean, it's like the Kibbut Avim trick. Rami?
This addresses the point I was making last week, right? About why there are several categories of Kibbut and mitzvah, and why would it be kofe? I mean, it's basically just a mantra.
This, basically?
Combined those categories, meaning what was bothering me last week was that point about why they wanted to be separate categories.
Yeah.
Of being a mitzvah. And if you're a mitzvah, why wouldn't it be kosher? And you're just saying you should be.
Correct. You still might distinguish between a case where the kfiya arises in Hilchos Gittin and one where the kfiya arises from just a general kibbut av'im.
Again, you're saying you could argue.
No, even the Tashbetz might think that there are differences between the cases in Ksubis, which are prescribed as Kofenos Olegarish.
Doesn't this case show that he doesn't think that?
What?
Doesn't this thing become a Kibbut Avim here show that he doesn't think that there's a distinction there?
There's no distinction vis-a-vis the legitimacy of the Kfiya. But there's got to be some Nachmina. Like, why does the Mishnah then have the distinction? Why is there a distinction between Kfiya and Mitzvah cases? With respect to, again, Me'usa, there's no Nachmina.
Yeah.
If that's your point. Yes. That's like an amazing chiddush here that he moves away from kedin and shelo kedin to b'makom mitzvah and shelo b'makom mitzvah.
Is it a big kiddush, or are we just made a big assumption by what kedin is?
What do you mean?
Is he a big kiddush, or was our original assumption a big kiddush? Where did we get the fact that kedin meant?
Well, we saw Rabbi Yonah, the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Yonah both said that ma'asalai, maybe there's a mitzvah garish, but there's no basis for kfiya. They thought there's a difference between kofin oso lagarish cases and yotzi b'itin ksuva cases. So they, in that framework, they seem to think that there's an important distinction. Okay. One second. Steph?
Do you make a distinction between mitzvah and kfiya? If let's say we're going according to the Rambam's reasoning, like underpinning of why mitzvah makes a difference because we're also the Yisrael, like you can be Rosh and Leos and Yisrael even and not want to do a mitzvah, but you can't be Rosh and Leos and Yisrael and not do a mitzvah.
Is
that
true?
Like, I don't know. I mean, like, right, like, if it's not an obligation, then you know, you could theoretically, it's through choice.
Maybe you might say that the chiyuv also is like rotzei lios miyisrael, you know, time, place, and manner. Like I'm not ready to give the get right now, so yeah, I have a chiyuv, but I'm not doing that chiyuv right now. Is that different from saying I have a mitzvah? I'm not doing that mitzvah right now. Right. What do you mean? Like, what are you committed to by rotzei lios miyisrael?
Right.
Okay, did everybody catch that when they went around the tshuva the first time?
I just assumed that it was kedin.
But you couldn't assume that because kibud avim stuff is clearly external to kedin.
Yeah.
Right, it's not an Ebenezer kufin and dalet discussion. It's a yeridea halacha. Okay, good. Okay, v'yesh ones acher. So skip down. You can see the Tash Beitz is super pro kfiya, right? He's softening everything so that, you know, you have fewer cases of get melusa.
Exactly.
V'yesh ones acher. Yoni, go.
V'yesh ones acher.
Avapi.
Avapi. Do unto the group of Indian owners, the gosh, Elish owners, also, lots of love and effort. Do unto the Axel, because that is not so known as the owners, the gosh, and Axel.
Yeah. So whenever you throw in the word mamish, you know that you're in trouble. Right. So here too, the pro kfiya Tash Beitz draws a very delicate distinction. A distinction almost as delicate as his between kfiya on the father versus kfiya on the ben. What's the distinction here? Beb? Yeah, exactly. Is the kfiya on gerushin, or is the kfiya on something else that simply gets him to divorce? That's a very subtle legal distinction, right? How do you even distinguish them? The big picture idea is that if you have independent legal grounds for coercing him for something other than gerushin, then the coercion is legitimate, even if it results in him giving a get. So let's look at his example. He cites this Yushalmi. He thinks the Yushalmi says this distinction. When the Gemara in Ksuvos talks about kofin versus yotzi v'yitein ksuva. The Gemara, the Mishnayos and Ksuvos use those different formulations. So he says, the Yushami says, what's the difference? So you can just read this phrase over here. Afagav detsan yosi b'yitein ksuva. Klum shamanu shekofin. B'tmiya. The yotzi l'chud, b'kofin l'chud. Sometimes we use the phrase kofin. Sometimes we use the phrase yotzi b'yitein ksuva. De kofin rotsa lomar. Go ahead, Yoni.
Kofin is a manish begarish. Like kofin means that, like, really directly
to divorce.
To divorce.
Right, we're coercing him to divorce his wife. Mamish begarish. The Yotzi wrote to Lomar. So we're a lot of force him to pay her ksuba. This is a little murky what the facts are, but I think the thought is that the ksuba is really expensive, and she'll be willing to forego her ksuba if he gives the get. Otherwise, it's hard to know what he's saying, because what does that mean? You're forcing him to pay the ksuba? And...
Yeah, I thought it just means just like he might as well, if he's already paying the ksuba, he might as well divorce her.
That's all it means.
Yeah. He's like, I'm already paying ksuba, so what's stopping me from divorcing him?
Aha. Let's see. Look here. Read this to me, Kalmakam. Let's see what he says. It's not clear what does that mean. Sometimes based on pronouns, you have to divorce. But Harihu kafoy v'omed beget zeh. Kivan shlo kafoy so mamish legarish ela shekidei liftor atzmo me'ones piron ksuvasa nispayes legarish. I don't know. He's trying to save himself from the ones of piron ksuvasa.
That was a little bit like now it's not onus because he's doing it willingly.
Or maybe the thought is like we're twisting his arm to pay off her ksuba. The only way that he'll pay up the ksuba is if he gives her a get. Got the idea?
Right, like you never say the words give a get, but it's mashma, give a ksuba.
You can't, let's say you can't pay the ksuba until the get is given.
Right, exactly.
Because the ksuba is only due after the gerush. So we're twisting his arm and saying pay the ksuba, pay the ksuba, pay the ksuba. He could stay in pain forever and not pay it. But we have a right to keep twisting his arm until he pays the ksuba. The only way he can pay the ksuba is through giving her a get. Maybe that's what he has in mind.
That point's not as strong as the way I read it. I'm not sure on the point.
So he says like this. Me'asin oso begufo legarish. That's where it's a get musa. Avalem isoy oso bedvar macherim she'iya hadim lachofo behem. If you have a legal right to force him in this other thing, kigon, priyas ksuba, the priyas balcho of mitzvah. So notice that mitzvah notion. He has a mitzvah to pay off his debt. What's the ksuba? The ksuba is the type of debt that he has to his wife. So we could force him to fulfill the mitzvah of paying back his debt. Umakin oso achi amarotzani, ulahatzil atzma me oso isoy nisratza legarish. So we're going to keep beating him until he gives the ksuba. That we have a legal right to do. Eventually, he's going to capitulate. He wants us to stop beating him. The only way we can pay the ksuba is to divorce. So then that's not considered isoy on the get. Pretty big chiddush, right?
So, is he a bacho before he gives the get? Like, even though he figures the debt?
Interesting. You're saying there's no chiyuv.
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. You might say that in the cases where we paskin yotzi v'yitein ksuba, there's a chiyuv to give the get from the moment we decide that yotzi v'yitein ksuba. You're asking an interesting point. You're saying, no, maybe the chiyuv ksuba only goes into effect with shas gerushin.
That's the whole point, that he can't pay the ksuba until he's
given. Right. Interesting catch 22.
Right.
Clearly, the Tosh base is assuming that there's some sort of fundamental chov that's right in place already. Chodem gerushin.
But still, he can't get closer to that debt before he gets the debt.
Right, like if he was like, why can't this guy just pay off the ksuba while he's still married?
Yeah.
Right.
That seems like a weird thing to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, I said, okay, here's the ksuba. But why? Like, why does he have to give the? It's tricky. So there are two issues brought up by Zev here. Number one is it true that there's priyas balcho mitzvah before gerushin? And if there is, maybe he could just pay it off before the divorce goes into effect. Right? It's not obvious you need to be divorced for the ksuba to be paid.
Yeah, imagine that whole discussion we had earlier.
Is your yichud?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The ksuba?
Right. Like the ksuba is not like stopping the divorce. Like now that there's no ksuba, like it's almost like there's no barrier to the divorce.
That could be why we wouldn't let the ksuba be paid off before, like the ksuba is still a chov automatically. sort of like it's conceptually impossible to pay off a ksuva before the divorce. Maybe that's the idea.
Right. But you're still out. Yeah. Some other self
right.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Romy?
Are these points and topics are separate? The mitzvah point and mitzvah, meaning obviously they're separate, but do you need both of them?
What do you mean?
Meaning if you have a mitzvah to do something, then or they go together automatically.
Like, isn't this just another case of mitzvah?
Right.
Because Priya's bach for mitzvah, correct?
I don't think that's what he was saying in the beginning. He didn't use the lashon of mitzvah.
Right, meaning you should have he should not have thrown in the phrase priyas ksuvas priyas bacha mitzvah. Here he's just trying to.
You just forced him to do what he
didn't
have to do.
What?
You just forced him to do what he didn't have to do.
Maybe it's just like a financial like chiyuv, even if it's not a mitzvah. Look, he says miu mistava. Read this phrase. You wrote me. The hanimili kisha kafuhu bedin bedvar macherim ki on hafashad yeah.
Ki on hafashad din open the pro.
So he's not sure about a case where you're kofesh shalo kedin bedavar acher.
What
it has to be justified coercion on that other thing.
So
it may not have to be a fix,
like a very narrow additional group of cases, I guess.
Right, like a regular chuv that wouldn't be a mitzvah lebroa type thing.
Right.
Hard to say exactly what that is.
And then according to Zashvi, any, like as long as you find, I guess we come back on that point, any, as long as you find a mitzvah, you can be kosher.
Like the kibbut avin.
Or the hafzer if I don't want. Or whatever. I mean, you could be a
little
more creative, but theoretically.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Maybe.
Pretty wild.
Well,
wild.
It's too permissive.
I'm not saying I'm saying.
It's very permissive. Right, from here, we at least have the kibbut avim as an example. Whether it's generalizable to like Ben Machaveiro, think, oh, Rachmanos on the wife, right? You're not so with the Brakofa, so we could be Kofa you on like, what? Right. Like being Kofa and Gamil's Hasadim type thing.
Yeah. Well, you might really expect to say that if we have
stuff. Right. Why go through the father? Josh?
So wondering, meaning we're saying Kibbut Av here, but I'm wondering, like, meaning the father.
He says Kibbut Av.
Right. I mean, the father being forced. Like, I wonder if the Kibbut Av here is not about listening to the father's words, but just about, like, letting the father's, like, life be that. You know what I mean? Like, is the Kibbut Av listening to the father, or is it helping his father?
There's an altistor divrei avicha. Right, so here it sounds like...
surprising. Like, would you say that you're honoring your father's words when he was forced to say those words? Like,
the father wasn't forced. We just said, the father, we're going to beat you up until your son gives a guess. The father sometimes like, give a guess. It's not forced.
He was
it's in his self-interest to do that.
So that he's being forced. Like, you know, right of beating up, he said it's considered honest. Meaning those words were coming out of the father, honest, being a little surprising that that's considered cheating.
Why?
Your
father
is the best
to do
something.
I don't know.
It's not so obvious to me that that's considered honoring your father.
You don't think it's honoring
your father?
Honoring your father doesn't get
enough. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's the honoring.
Right, you're saying you don't even need a
tzibui. Yes, but I'm also saying conversely, like in a case where your father just says something, but there's no. Oh, never mind. That would, okay, never mind. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think the fact that the father's being coerced takes away the tzibui. That's what you're trying to say.
Okay.
Right. It's just a background condition for why the father's in pain, and then it's kibbut avim to get him out of pain. Yeah, what?
I mean, it's just about like following words and not his actual
It is the father's actual ratzon is
okay.
To be out of pain.
Right. Yeah.
If he was in no pain, the father just said, "I want you to work with women. We could be kofa on that wife."
Yeah, kibbut avim. Right. That's the point. It's not lavar al dibrei Torah. Wasn't that his point? There's a few
kiyah.
Did you call
upon
Mr. Tasei? Happens to be that. Remember from last year, that's one of the exceptions. Kviyah and Kibbut Avim is one of the exceptions for even though it's a mitzvah shematam schar b'tzeder she'ein bezin shematam usharnale, we're still kova like zaka, but generally we're kova on mitzvah say anyways. Where did you say that about the father? Although you wouldn't have gotten this just on the Beis Yosef.
Yeah, I know.
So you have Charata on your comment, Rumi?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
Never back down, Rumi.
That's your pizza.
Yeah. I feel I'm su achin al pi aviv. I'm a little altistor divrei avicha. Have a get. Mishum mitzvah shema divrei aviv. But how you kedela histalik mina hariva, right? The hariva, the father was trying to hamariva. The father was trying to get the son out of conflict. So in that type of case, the mitzvah to listen to your father. And even though kibud avim oftentimes is more about like the father, you know, getting dressed, like malbisho and ma'achilo. Okay, let's make one last point here in the Tash Bates for today. So he says, v'yesh ones acher. Yoni, you got this?
Yeah, v'yesh ones acher. Af al pi shiru unta da freely in ones buduka. So there's another type of ones that even though it's categorized as unta da freely, it's not ones buduka.
Good.
So keep going. She does let ish them in that umanon. His wife stole money from him. The inner rose of the house, she won't return it until he divorces her. The inner yacht of the couple with them last year allowed.
Yes, but there must be a case where the wife is not able, you can't compel her to give back the thing she stole from him. So she's holding on to his property. She'll look it in.
What?
Right? She drove off with his Porsche.
Well, why? How could it be a case of.
Well, what would be the case?
Yeah.
What type? Of, yeah, maybe there's no Edim, or it's like a what? Maybe it's an interesting question. With Enu Yochel Chovmid means like de facto you can't get it back from her, or it means like there's no legal basis. If it means de facto, it's a bigger chiddush because like she drove this Porsche and he can't get it back practically.
Yeah.
So Zeh. Oh, here's. She's threatening to make him lose money.
Okay.
She says, "I'm going to break all the windows in the house if you don't give me a get." Yeah. What's he saying here, effectively? Yeah.
It's very simple.
Exactly. The Tash Bates here is suggesting that he thinks Onas Mammon is Lashme Onas. I mean, it's against all the Rishonim. It's against the Meiri, against the Ritva, against all the Rishonim we saw earlier in the Sugya. But Tash Bates has an argument, which we'll talk about a little bit in the next year, to say that Onas Mammon is Lashme Onas. So you can really see that Tash Bates is working hard to limit the cases of Onsin that would disqualify a get. You clearly see his netiyah in these cases. So in this last sentence, it's ones mamon. In the case before that, it's ones al yedei davar acher. Like if you could be kofeh based off kibud aveim or based off some other chiyuv, like the ksuva case. In the case before that, it's any ones on a mitzvah. He thinks it's not lashmei ones. And the case before that, it's any ones that's through acherim. Not on the direct person or property of the Mgarish. The property thing, again, he rejects later on, but he thinks that wouldn't be considered onus anyway. Okay, let's stop here for today in the Shit Tash Bates. Next year, we'll wrap up the Tash Bates. We'll try to cover the what's left of the Rashbash and the Zichron Yehuda. All right?
Fine. Okay. Fine. Well, I'm back.